even preparing a sermon, having written notes like this. You don't do that. He has some notes in his Bible in general, but he preaches just as the Lord lays things on his heart. So, with the breaking of bread. Sometimes if the Lord brings something to my mind on a Tuesday morning, I will jot it in my little miracle thing. And then it will come back to me at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. That preparation time is anathema to some of our forebears. I have too many apples in the air for me to balance everything, so I'll take all the help I can get. All right, I gave you a list. Now, what you have in front of you is my third shot at preparing for today. First one I threw away, the second one I revised, and then threw away. And what you have in front of you is my third attempt at it. Lydia said, the rest of it was notes, Dad. Or you know, you're telling them how to prepare. You should give them a list of what to do, a to-do list. So that's what you have in front of you. Now, what I gave you is the buzzwords, and you're going to have to fill in the blanks. Plug in. First thing that you need to do is plug in your life. When was the last time you heard the Holy Spirit tell you something? That soft whisper in your ear, that quiet, still voice. If you're not hearing the Holy Spirit, it's going to be very difficult to come in and feel moved by a meeting that is led by the Holy Spirit. So you need to be plugged into that. That comes back to your daily devotions, your walk with the Lord. How is your walk with the Lord before you come in? Plug into the Holy Spirit. You need to pray up. You need to be prayed up before you come into Bethany at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Have you prayed for others? As you look and say, well, you know, I pray for this little list. I want you to look around you this morning. There are those seated amongst us that have burdens, that have sorrows, that have travail. Have you prayed for them this week? Has your daily dose of prayer, is it all selfishness like my list? Is it all just for me? Are you praying for others? Are you interceding before the throne of grace for those amongst us and those represented by us scattered throughout the far corners of the world and their needs? When you pray for others, it allows the focus to come off of you and on to the work of the Lord. That's a good word, or good words, the work of the Lord. Dick reminded us this morning, Adrian is another one that we need to pray for. Even though she's not listed as a commended worker, she'd be an other or a special other. She travels in some pretty scary places. You need to be read up or read up. Remember, you look at the armor of God. It's defensive armor. The only offensive weapon that God gives us to do the work of the Lord is the Bible. That is our weapon. You need to learn how to use it. You need to have a daily, regular I guess. Close as I hope we get this morning. For those of you who have not figured it out, we are on the new sound system this morning. So, we'll see. What did I do wrong, Brad? Regular reading of Scripture. The Bible is sharp and living. It is what makes a difference in a person's life over the long haul, is the amount of time that they spend in the Scripture. You need to come in on time. Now, I was late this morning. I want you to take your seat. As my secretary was typing it, she said, "You want your underlined?" I said, "Absolutely. You have a seat." At 1902 Howard Street, Martha Caskey is never truly happy unless all the seats are filled. Now, 1902 Howard Street, all the seats are filled by people named Caskey. And there's a seat for each of them, and now there's 10. Here at Bethany Chapel, representing the Bride of Christ, there is a seat that has your name on it. So you take your seat, you take your place at the table. You have a membership card, a union card, a one of those little placemat thingy. You know, like at weddings, it's got your name on it. Table number 9, Brian and Martha Caskey. You have a place specifically for you. He wants you here. You need to wash up. I'm not asking you to wash up before you get here. I'm wanting you to wash up when you get here. I want you to wash your hands. I want you to cleanse your hands. The sin needs to go away. No dirt. No garbage. This is the place you wash your hands. This is the place you deal with God. Now, Baptists love invitations. I love them. I like them. A couple times I've preached here, I gave an invitation, embarrassed Brad, caused a little bit of hassle. I like the fact that when you're confronted with the Word of the Lord, that you have a chance to deal with it. Right then, right there. To say, yes, I'm going to do something about this. Or no, I'm not. This is kind of like our little way of an invitation, because you come to the table and it's your time to deal with things. Remember, the Word says a man should examine himself and then eat. You need to come in, each and every one of us, every Sunday, examine yourself. How did I do this week? I didn't like grade cards when I was in school. I'm going to admit that. I did not do well in high school. I did acceptable in college. I didn't like grade cards because I didn't get good grades. Very simple. If I was my child, I would punish me a lot. But evaluation is essential, and we need to learn to evaluate ourselves. There's no punishment. It's evaluation and confession. You come to the table. You see your shortcomings. You appreciate God's work for you, and you deal with it. You confess it, and then you partake. The Word of God changes people. Be willing to be changed by God. Bring them. Bring what? Bring who, Brian? You asking us to bring other people? Oh, sure, absolutely. But I want you to bring them. I want you to bring your sin, your sorrow, your pain, your travail, your burden, that what you sit up and worry about at 3 o'clock in the morning. That what stoops you over. That what nobody else knows about. That what you're carrying all by yourself. That burden, that sorrow, that tear in the eye, that quiver in the voice. I want you to bring them. I want you to bring them right here. And I want you to lay them right where this podium is. What do you call it? I want you to leave them right here. I want you to bring it, and I want you to leave it right here at the foot of the table. Give it to Him. You think He doesn't know? Do you believe for a minute that Jesus doesn't know what you went through this week? He knows. He understands. And He wants you to bring it. Do you know what happens in heaven when you confess a sin that you've already confessed. In that big control room in the sky. Hey, I grew up mission control, right? Big control room in the sky. You're confessing a sin. The angels are up there keeping track of everything. It says someday the books are going to be open. They're not going to be books like this. They're going to be books like this. Discs. Mini heaven discs. They keep all kinds of information. So you're up there, and Pat Fari is confessing his sin. And an angel up there is trying to delete the sins. But the angel can't find the sins because Pat confessed them last week. They're already forgiven. The angel calls the supervisor over.
Guy's confessing his sins to God. I'm trying to read him out of the book, and I can't find him to delete him.
Supervisor says that happens all the time. Because the devil wants to make you ineffective, so he brings that sin back in your mind, and that's the only record of it, because there's no record in that. Deleted. Cleansed. File does not exist. I get that a lot when I'm looking for stuff at work. File does not exist. What do you mean it doesn't exist? Up in heaven, it doesn't exist. There's no record. Because I confessed it and he forgave it and it's done. But yet we burden ourselves. We make ourselves ineffective because we carry it around with us. Bring it in and leave it right here. Right there. You're done with it. No sin to blot out. There's nothing to keep you from fellowshipping with the Lord. I want you to bring your sins, your burdens, your sorrows, your cares, your hurts, and your troubles and pain. And then I want you to leave them here. I want you to respect your host when you prepare. I'm not talking about Dick Lauber. I'm talking about Jesus. The breaking of bread service is all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about me. You come in here and you're thinking about yourself. Well, I was too hot this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. It's hot in here. Plus, I'm going to wear this silly thing. I don't like it. Makes me uncomfortable. But it's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's all about facilitating worship. The verse that Paul gives you, which I quoted down at the end, everything has to be done to edify the saints. All of these things must be done for the strengthening of the church. Respect your host. It's not about Brian Caskey's agenda or Dick Lauber's agenda or Bob Cowan's agenda of what they think the breaking of bread should be or what Bethany should do. That has no place at that meeting. None. Zero. That meeting is 100% to be focused on our Lord Jesus. And it's wrong to get up and preach your own agenda. It's wrong to sit there and think about your own agenda. You think about the Lord Jesus and His work for you. And you think about heaven. And you think about the cross and the trumpet. You think about the Day of Atonement. There's a bazillion things you can think about. For gosh sake, don't think about your own stuff. That's wrong, kid. It's wrong. Respect your host. Respect the person that brought you here to the table, that paid for you to be. And then worship. Your hands are clean. Your burdens are laying here at the bottom of the music stand. You've examined yourself. There's no sin left to blot out. There's nothing standing between you and the throne because the veil was rent. You have access where the high priest was scared to go. You fall on your knees. Figuratively, practically if you want to. We'd struggle with that, but we'd live with it. Fall to your knees and worship the Lord. Praise God's name. And then remember. Remember what He did for you. Isn't it funny? Brad and I both would kind of come from similar stock, even though it's definitely different roads in life, but different stock. I didn't write down the name the day I was saved either. My daddy didn't believe in it. One day is the same as the next before the Lord, son. Wish he wrote down the date. Be nice. Come before and remember. Remember what he's done for you. Count your blessings. Remember the work that he did for you. Why does he want us to remember? Why did he ask us to remember? He created us. So he knows what our brains are capable of and are not capable of, and knows that we are a forgetful people. Time after time after time, the children of Israel said what? They didn't remember what the Lord had done in Egypt. They didn't remember. There was a king in Egypt who didn't know who Moses was. We're a forgetful people. So, well, you know, it's not important. God knows how I feel. Let me explain something to you, kid. I'm married to a little Irish girl. Some Dutch in there, too. I said, you know, Marth, 1979, I told you I loved you. I'll let you know if there's a change. Not a real good idea. Why? She wants to hear it. Why does God want us to worship? Because for some reason he likes the way we sing. He likes it. He inhabits it. You look at the pictures in heaven in the book of Revelation, and what are they doing? Praising God, worshiping God. It's constant. It's all the time. It never stops. When we worship, it's like a little picture of heaven. So worship, praise, and remember. Come prepared to do that. And then I ask you to celebrate the symbol. You know what? There's nothing holy about the little aluminum tray that we fill. Now, when I was a kid, we had this neat little squirt bottle that my dad bought from the chemistry lab, and you put the stuff in. Or you take a little styrofoam cup and you pour it in. Dave Nelson's got this really cool gizmo that he found on the internet, a guy in St. Charles, thank you. You slip the trays in a certain little way, and you put this cup of juice in, and you tip the thing forward, and it fills them all up. It's really cool. But it's not holy. Nothing special. It's just grape juice from Sam's Club and bread from Jewel. Pat and Cindy Hughes go get it. But celebrate what it represents. The work that goes behind it. What it symbolizes. Not because it's some grandiose thing, but because he did it for you. I wear a ring. Sometimes I can get it off. Just a piece of gold. I don't like jewelry. The only piece of jewelry I wear. Watches last about 4 months and then I break them. $14 a pair. But this piece of gold is a symbol. It's a symbol of Martha's love for me, and it's a symbol of my commitment to her. It's not worth a ton of money. $200 probably. But in reality, it's invaluable. It's the symbol of my love and commitment to Martha. The symbols on the table, I believe, do not take on a special spiritual significance once we give thanks for them. There are brothers and sisters who disagree with us, and that's okay. That's fine.
But celebrate what they mean. Celebrate what they entail for you, because He died for you. Each and every one of us can touch that symbol like it's part of us.
There are things in my house, simple things mostly, that mean a ton to the kids. And you see them, especially at celebration time, because my bride is into celebrating. Any excuse to have a party, we have a party. You see them take things out of the Easter box or the Christmas box where Martha keeps her stuff in. And it has a significance attached to it. It's a symbol of their memories of childhood celebration. Nothing holy about the creche that Martha's grandpa made her. But it's the symbol of what it means to the children.
Celebrate the symbol. Use them as a way of remembering.
We have rocks in our house. Rocks from different vacations and different things that we did. So you hold the rock and you tell the story. It's a way of remembering. Jesus gave us these symbols to remember the covenant, the sacrifice, and the cost of our sin. Celebrate them. The most important verse that I want you to take away from this, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 26. What then shall we say, brothers? After he gets done, remember, they were goofing up in Corinth. They weren't doing it correctly. Their meeting did more harm than good. So he gives them three chapters of correction, including the love chapter, 13. Which really what he's doing is smacking them around. What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, everybody should have a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. And then the most important part, the key right there. All of these things must be done for the strengthening of the church. When you come in to Bethany Chapel on 9 o'clock, or quarter till, or 5 till, 5 after, or 10 after, did you come in to strengthen the church? That's what you want. It must be done. It must be done to strengthen the church. We all need to be about strengthening the church. Not just the little lampstand called Bethany Chapel, but everything. Everything that Bethany entails. Everything that the church universal entails. Now, I have a couple questions to start us off. What is our responsibility to others? And what do you think about silent time versus lots of participation? You like the quiet times? You like the times of silence when you can just sit there and your mind can be full of the last hymn that we sang? Or what the Lord's laying on your heart, or what you're reading, or what you had read? No, that's 10, 12 minutes. We're not going to sit here quiet. No participation. I'm going to start volunteering. What do you like, Barry? The silent time? Do you like the participation? the balance. Jim Stark Sr., I know you talk about how you prepare for the Lord's table and you like to empty your thoughts and then come in and let the Spirit move you. Talk about that a minute. Now, do the silent times make you uncomfortable when we have them? Yes, ma'am. Good idea. Your elders here at Bethany Chapel are not real hung up on themes, because Dick and I both struggle figuring the themes out. So. Yes, sir. When you push that button in the car and it goes to, your favorite radio station, be it the Wheaton radio station, or movie, or K-Love, or whichever one it is. And if, I'm sorry, you push your button in the car and go to the favorite, your favorite radio station, and you go to K-Love or Moody or Wheaton, and they're playing a song, and all of a sudden, you wonder, did he pull the plug out or something, or did he trip over something, or hit the wrong button? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Sure. And I don't think the art, and I think what I was trying to emphasize there is part of what I do is disciple younger men. That's part of my passion in my life. I encourage them to participate at the breaking of bread, even if they don't understand the theme. You know, sometimes I don't understand what the theme is until, you know, 20 after or 30 after. So you're encouraging them to share what the Lord has laid on their heart. Now, there is a risk in that. Because sometimes in an open meeting, things can go wrong. I mean, saying somebody can stand up and talk for 10 or 15 minutes about something that's a different path than what was shared before. Elders here don't get hung up on that. Where I grew up, you might have gotten talked to if you shared something kind of off track. And I think that that's the good word to transition. I think that sometimes there are trends as you go through the service, and by the time we get to the table, you know, we've made a journey. And those are especially edifying to me. Other thoughts? About somebody comment about what is our responsibility to each other? You know, I kind of look at a chapel. If a church is a restaurant, and everything is done for you when you come. Typical to you. Come in, and you sit down, and you order, and they feed you. Well, then a chapel is kind of a homegrown, home cooking. Because we have a lot of responsibility individually for what happened. I like that. And there's people that don't. I like that. But what is our responsibility to know each other and to support each other? The person that sits in the end of the pew with you, what is your responsibility to them? Yes, sir. Yeah. I think we'll close with what Dick said last week. It's very much a culmination of what happened in the previous week. It's everything that led up to that hour. And then it's also a kickoff for what's going to take place in the next week. It's very much that focal point. Where it's all about everything that God has done to you and for you and with you up to that point. And then everything about what He's going to do from there on. Yes, sir. John Thompson, can you focus, please? Sure.
I'm going to be in an area.